thank you. It's good to see everybody. Yeah, good to see everyone. Avi Shkodek from Me Drain You a Cup. Keep changing the title back and forth. Appreciate it. And it's good to see everyone. This is called seeing. Anyway, so I thought you needed a change of scenery. I had enough of my attic. So this is my modest little office here in Yeshiva. What used to be a cheder. We hope it'll be back. You know, there was a Rosh Hashiva. His name was Rav Kuppelman. He lived to 102, 104 years old. He had a very interesting minute. He was in Switzerland, so it was very German. Everything was very perfect. So when they would give out the cake, they would give out, there was exactly one, if there was 160 bacharim in the yeshiva, there was 160 pieces of cake. And the Rosh Hashiva would stand there for years and years, and he would watch the bacharim take the cake. So somebody once asked him, Rav Schlesinger, very chashuv yid, he was a Talmud of his, very long time, he said, honestly, what's Rosh Hashiva looking for? There's 166 pieces of cake. There was never 167. There was never 165. And there's 166 bacharim. He said, you don't know how much I can learn from a bachar when I see him take the cake. There are three different kinds of bachar. So those that come by take their cake and they go further. Those that come by and they're like, which one has more chocolate on it? Takes it. Now those that come by and it'll never fail. They'll pick up a piece, put it down and take a different piece. Somebody else's piece is there. So they have to pick up a piece in order to ascertain, in order to establish the platform that the rest is someone else's piece, and then they'll take someone else's piece. So I have a friend, he's a travel agent, he told me he has a very big customer. And I had met this customer once. He said, you know why I use that travel agent? He's the only one who doesn't charge me a cancellation fee. This wasn't the time people used to travel. So I once met the travel agent, it was a friend of mine. I said, how do you get away with not charging a cancellation fee? He says, you don't know this guy, whenever he calls, he books a flight and cancels it. So I learned not to book the first flight that he calls. So there's never a cancellation fee because I didn't book the flight. I said, well, what's going to happen one day if he wants to go on that first flight? He says, then I'm in trouble. But it never happened yet. There are some people that like, oh no, I made the wrong decision. They have to make a decision. So the Rosh Hashiva said, when the guy picks up the cake and puts it down and has to take a different cake, I know where this bacher is, I know where he's up to. And I think that what are the inyanim of Shavuos that we have to draw from this is for us to understand that we are, you know, somebody else doesn't have it better. We are who we are. We're supposed to be who we are supposed to be. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to us. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I'm getting to learn how to use this. Avi, how are you? So good to see you and everyone else. Wowee. Okay. If I'm not calling your names because I can't figure out how to turn the machine, I'm scared that if I press another button, I'm going to wind up closing myself off and watching a movie or something here. That I don't want to do. So, you know the story of the person that brought his tzitzit. He's looking for a cleaners. And there's no cleaners available because, of course, all the Yiddish cleaners are closed. And he finally finds a Chinese cleaners, and he gives in his talus to clean before Shavuos. And then when he gets it back, they charge him $400. He goes, $400? Why so much? So the Chinese man says, you know how long it took us to open all these knots, you know, that you brought it in with the strings? So I'm telling this, it's supposed to be a joke, and I'm telling it to, I guess, all the people that don't have pictures, maybe laughing. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm telling it to a friend of mine, and his little Einikel is there, and he says to me, because he didn't think I make jokes, and he said to me, he's about an 8-year-old kid, he says, really, on Shavuos, you're supposed to open up the knots of your tzitzis? I said, uh-oh, better be careful you say jokes in front of him. Then I said to myself, maybe it's not a bad thought, you know what I mean? No, don't open the knots of your tzitzis, but if you feel like your life is tangled and tied in knots, so Shavuos is the time to recognize the knots, to open it up and to retie it. In the right way, in the right position, right? Ship captains or sailors, the whole position of the ship is based on their ability to tie knots. So you're learning the Masechta Shabbos, where it talks about a kesher shel kayama. And really, that's what Shavuos is all about. Shavuos is all about understanding the knots in our life, understanding the blocks in our life, what we can do, what we can't do, and how we can possibly work around it. You know, I remember when I had my astro, Olav Shalom, but they say, may he rest in peace. And I was driving the Astro down the street, and I opened up the side door. My kid opened up the side door because the kid wanted to get out. And there was a lady there who looked very angry, a middle-aged lady. It looked like life was not treating her very well. And she throws her bags in, And she gets into the back seat. I have no clue who this lady is. And she goes, "You said you were going to be here in 10 minutes. "What? When I call a car service and they tell me they're going to be here in 10 minutes, I don't expect to wait 25. I was going to tell her I'm not a car service. And she says, "Well, so just for the sake of it, because I love these stories and these things happen," I said, "Where do you need to go?" So I wouldn't have driven her to Lakewood, but a couple of blocks away. So I drove her. And I thought she would catch on that I'm not a car service. I had a kid sitting in front. And I'm like, and she gives me this angry look and storms out. No thank you, no nothing. No tip either. Come to think of it, she didn't pay me. I don't know. I guess when she wanted, she realized she was a car service or not. So my daughter said to me, "She didn't chap that you're not a car service?" I said, "She chapped." But some people live on their anger. They thrive on their anger. This lady has a lot of other problems besides that her car service came late. Trust me. She lives on her anger, and she needed that anger, and she wasn't going to give in that there's an excuse that she made a mistake. I said, there are people that way. So my daughter said, "Are you upset that you took her?" I said, "Of course not. First of all, she gave me a great story. Second of all, no, because I work for the Rabbi Shalom. I don't work for her." So I was thinking along these lines of 10 tips and how we can make our learning better, how we can position ourselves around the mountain. Because that's what the midst of Hagbalah Sahar was. Hashem is telling us where we should be around the mountain. So 10 tips to make your learning better this Shavuos and afterwards. One tip to make your learning better is to learn. You have to learn. That's the biggest school. I was once in a Svarim store, and there was this sefer, and it said, I picked up the sefer. This is not that sefer, but I picked up the sefer just for illustrative purposes, and I couldn't believe it. There was a picture of Rebbe Yashiv, and it said, "How to Become a Rebbe Yashiv." Huh, interesting. How to Become a Rebbe Yashiv. Wow, this is great. It was by the book. Wow. So someone over my shoulder looked, "There's a book, How You Become a Rebbe Yashiv." I said, "I guess so." He says, "You'll buy that book if you want to become Rebbe Yashiv." I said, "Which book do you buy?" So he turns around, there's a Shas and a Shulchan Aruch. He says, "You got to buy all those to become it." There's no quick answer. It's our life. It's who we are. It's our nesiyonos have the answers to who we're going to be. And when you open up a Gemara, when you open up a Mishnayos, the Baal HaTanya says this, and others say this, the Sfasemis says it many times. That's Cheshavti Drachai V'Yeshiva Ragli Leid V'Sechad, that David HaMelech said. The skula of Limud HaTorah, that's Pekudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilei, that makes you happy. Why does it make you happy? Because it directs you to understand that what is going on in your life, that Hashem is tying the knots and retying the knots, that in turn is guiding you. You got to open up the safe. You got to make the first move. So there was somebody with the Rav Shitzurav, and he was saying, "Ahava Rabba," again and again and again. He was saying, "Avinu Ava Rachman," right? Again, the same Billy Barachem. He was saying, "Billy Beinu Bina." There's a reason people don't pay me to sing. Anyway, the same Billy Beinu Bina, Lahavinu Lahaskan. He's saying it again and again, and he's singing, and he's saying it again and again. The Rav Shitzurav goes over to him. He goes, "Okay, they listened to your tefillah. Take a Gemara and learn already." You know what I mean? Like, Hashem, they answered you. What are you doing with it? And the best, school of learning is to start learning. That's number one. I remember my first car that I actually had. I know I told you about my Buick Chevy. There was a Buick in front and a Chevy back. The actual first car that I had, we were 18 years old in Yeshiva. Don't tell anyone about this, please. We bought a car, the Shutfis. It was an American Motors Gremlin. None of you remember the Gremlin, right? No, I don't think so. Ask your fathers or grandfathers. There was a car called American Motors. Remember the Rambler? No, you don't. There was a Gremlin, and we bought it, and it was a 1961 Gremlin, and it was a stick shift. Now, this one of the things about a Bacher, it's a Zach to drive a stick shift car. It's like a certain Zach, you know. I'm not sure what it is. People want a sense of control, you know, like, why have an automatic transmission if you can be busy, burning out a clutch and shifting back and forth and going backwards instead of forwards or going nuts if you're on a hill and you need 4 feet because you need three things to be. So it had no key. There were two wires that you put together to start it. But most of the time, it didn't start. The way it started, and this used to be common with automatic shift cars. I don't know why. It's related to the transmission. But if you pushed it, if a bunch of Bachrim pushed it from the back quick enough, it's the engine started. And that's how we started the Gremlin. The problem was, if you went to Walmart, how do you get it out of the shopping lot? Okay. We got stuck on the FDR Drive in the middle of the night. It's a different story. I won't get into it now. But the way you started the Gremlin was by starting the Gremlin. And the same is true for limited Torah. But a lot of times success in limited Torah starts with learning. And I want to try to explain this a little bit. The Gemara says, that a person should come in through two doors, first two doors, the achakach, and only afterwards you spal yishadam. What does that mean, that a person has to come in through two doors and only then daven? So there's a machlokes. Some say it means that it's a shirin zman. When you come in, don't just start davening right away. Calm down, take a deep breath, open your siddur, start davening. So if a doorway is two amos, so two doors means wait the amount of time it takes to walk for amos, and only then start davening. Another pshat is, le'odim yikonis adam shnei psachim, is a shir in Makkah. You shouldn't daven next to the door. Why should you not daven next to the door? Why should you walk in the shir of two doors? So again, there's a machalikas rishonim. Some hold because if you're standing next to the door, it looks like you're eager to leave, too eager to leave. That's not a covenant for davening. Some say you're going to be distracted by what is outside. Menei Sascha brings up Kabbalah, a different inyan in the Li'olam Yukonis Adam Shnei Psachim. If you've ever been to a jewelry store lately to buy a jewelry for your kala, if you didn't, Bez Hashem Yisroch, you should have that problem very shortly. Or let's say you wanted to buy something for your mother. So most jewelry stores work is that you, as a security measure, you open up the door, they buzz you in, the door has to close behind you, and then you're trapped in a cubicle, and the next door has to open up. But the next door won't open up until the door behind you is closed, and that is a security measure in case somebody walks in who looks like he's wearing a mask, and you may think he's trying to, you know. Imagine a guy walks in with a mask. He's a robber, right? So the police were saying they have a problem with people wearing masks, is that the robber would have to run away and take off his mask, and now he doesn't, so they have a hard time picking him in the crowd. But the idea is if the person walks in and you say, I shouldn't have let this guy in, so you have a second chance because he can't come through the second door before the first door closes. Also, the other thing is that if he's a thief and he's running out, so the outside door won't open unless the back door closes, he's going to be trapped inside. So the Bnei Sascha says there's an inyan of Li'olam Yukonis Adam Shnei Psachim V'Achakach Yispalo. I've been to visit people in maximum security prisons, not a pretty sight, and there's a series of these things. You're escorted, and there's a big iron gate that lifts, and you walk in with some 17-year-old security guard who gives you a dirty look, and the gate slams behind you, bang, and you're stuck. You have to be stuck between the two rooms, and then the next gate lifts. And you walk in, and this happens a few times. And each time, you're stuck alone in the gate, with the gate in front of you, the gate behind you locked. Let me tell you something, it is very mesugel for tshuva. It does a lot for tshuva. I mean, so if your shorim helps with that, that helps also. Especially if the guy turns around and says, so how do Jews don't pay taxes? How can you guys get away with it? I'm like, yeah, great place to have this discussion. Or he says to me, this is what the security guard said to me, you know what we have up here in the country? We have Jews and ticks. Mm-hmm. I have what to answer him, but I thought under the circumstances it may be best to keep it for a shir later. And people said I should write the guy up and complain. They said no, then they'll let it out on the prisoners, but that's the matzav over there. So there is a concept that you walk in, the door slams behind you, and the door closes ahead of you. But this way they have a chance to look at you, the cameras look at you, and they may make a decision that, oh, we recognize you, or there was face recognition, and they change their mind, and they tell you you can't come in. The Bnei Sascha says a fascinating thing. He says that's Api Kabbalah, what the meaning is, the Olam Yukonis Adam Shnei Psachim V'Achakach Yispal. Because what's going to happen is when you come home at night, right, and you're tired, come home at night as if you're coming home. Let's say one day you were in yeshiva and you were coming home. And you take out your newspaper, kosher, only the Hamadiyah, of course, I'm sure no one reads anything else. And you open it up and it's very interesting. Or you go onto social media and it's like, you know, fascinating. Before you know it, 6 hours passed. And then you say, okay, time to learn a Mishnah. Before I go to sleep, I'm going to learn a Mishnayas. And you take out the Mishnayas and you go, all right, maybe I'll do it in the morning. No, I got to do it now. And you open up the Mishnah and you're going, so hot here. Whoa. I need a drink. Okay, yeah, the Mishnah. Right. Ma, do you need me to do something for you? You don't? No? Can you ask me to do something for you? Oh, the Mishnah, right? So what is it? What is so hard about learning? What is so hard about davening? And the answer is, Hashem says, wait a second, you want to come into Torah? It's not so easy. Come in through one door, and the door slams behind you. And the next door doesn't open so quick. And let's see your perseverance. Let's see how much you want. And sometimes there could be a series of doors. And when you come into this door, and the door slams behind you, there's a sense of, what did I do? What did I give up to learn? What did I give up to learn? Now, I lost what I gave up, and I'm not successful in learning, and what's the point? You're fine. You're fine. What's happening is you came in through one video. You came in through one door, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, we want to test your perseverance, we want to test your will, and we're willing to open up another door. And if you're going to be successful in learning, you're going to be successful in your davening, you're going to be successful in your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there may have to be a series of doors that you're going to go through. So if you feel like learning is not for me, I'm not getting anywhere with it, or davening is not for me, it just doesn't go. This is the whole point. You have to go through two doors. The achikach yispalel, and only afterwards could you daven. I remember going to visit a yid in a nursing home. And as I came out, it was right before Shabbos, and I was running. And there was a man standing by the door. And he was saying, come here. And I was like, I was in a rush, and I ran over to him, and I said, yeah, can I help you? And he shows me, okay, hope you ate supper already, guys, but I think the story is graphic, but it's real. He shows me his pamper, okay, which he's holding in a bag, and he asks me if I can dispose of it. So I said, I know there's a madrega of a Havas Yisrael that you're supposed to do this, but I was like, I said, can I get the nurse maybe or the thing? He goes, no, they come around at 8 o'clock. Right. So could you please take it? And you know, he shows me where you're supposed to put it. He knew exactly where you're supposed to put it. Like, forget the gloves and the masks, you know? Like, you ever see the Chinese guys pushing the carriage at 10 trillion bottles, climbing into a garbage can, but he has a glove and a mask because of the ear and the thing trying to figure this out. And here I am, and I'm like, and he looks at me and he says, and this is when I realize who this person is. He said to me, there's not much I can do to cover Shabbos. But at least I want that when Shabbos comes, it should be out of the room. This is my cleaning for Shabbos. And whatever nurse does this makes the rounds at 8 o'clock, and that's going to be an hour into Shabbos. And trust me, he says, you're uncomfortable? How uncomfortable do you think it is for me to ask you to do this? But I want my room to be ready for Shabbos. And I looked at him, and I had tears in my eyes. I said, wow. And I did it. Not only did I do it, even getting good at it. But I came back the next day to meet this person because I thought he was a fascinating person. And there were like, the way the rooms in this nursing home went was there was one door, and you went into a little hallway, there was like a sink and a utility closet and another door. And he would sit between the two doors saying Tillim. And the nurses told me he does this every morning at 3 o'clock. And I said, well, why are you doing this? Like, you scared of something? So he said, no. For many, many years, I was in my shul, and I verified it. He used to come to shul at 3 o'clock and say Tillim, and he wanted to be the one to open the door for people. And he would stand between the hallway. There were two hallways, and he would stand between the first door and the second door, and he would open up the door for people and take their coat and take it. And that shul was the Vina shul in Williamsburg. That's what he did for years. Now that I'm in this nursing home, I was very depressed that I can't do it, and I said, well, Hashem wants me. Hashem gives me the doors. And I have to do it in front of these two doors. What's the difference in front of these two doors in front of different two doors? To be matzliach in limud haTorah, you have to believe that you are between the doors where you're supposed to be. So it says like this. It says, agura b'holcha ilamim, and we learn from here, ma oil, just like an oil, ena mekabel toma, af divrei Torah ena mekabel toma. There's no such a thing that I can't learn now because I'm tummy. No such a thing. It says a Russia malucha l'saper chukai, but a Russia means someone who doesn't want to do tshuva. You can be the biggest Russia in the world if you say areyat mekadeshes li'almanasha anitzadik, and she's suffering mekadeshes, some holds avi mekadeshes. Because the fact that he said almanasha itzadik, shema hira tshuva b'liba. So again, you can't be a Russia, meaning to say you have to want to be good. But the Torah is always there for you. You know, if anyone going to Eretz Yisrael now, so they just opened up the door for boys to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. So a nephew of mine was supposed to go. So he came by. I said, you really want to go? He says, yeah, you can go. I said, you just have to fill out this form. And he's giving me this form, and I'm looking at it. He said, if Bachrim want to go to Eretz Yisrael now, you have to quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. But no. You can't go to your uncle and quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. You have to have your own room someplace. Because you have to have a room in a hotel, obviously, or a rich uncle. Your own bathroom and your own entrance. And you have to be there for 2 weeks. Okay? And they're going to check. And if you're not there, it's going to be a $1,000 fine. And they, until now, the government was renting hotels, and now you have to find the hotel room, and the yeshiva that you're going to has to supply the food. So it's very interesting. So until now, the government rented a hotel. So a friend of mine called me. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He said, I'm in this hotel, and I want to say the name of the hotel, but it was a pretty decent hotel. He said, I can't believe it. I'm here, and the Israeli government is putting me up over here, you know. Then he calls me after a week. He goes, get me out of here. He says, what's the matter? He says, it's not the same hotel. When I was here 3 weeks ago as a cash-paying customer, I said, what is it? He said, you're starving to death? He says, we're not starving to death. He says, you know, we get our cereal in the morning and a sandwich in the afternoon and a quarter of a chicken at night, one of those things, and you can't leave your room. He says, I realize there's a big difference. You can be in the same hotel if you're a cash-paying customer, what they do for you, or when the government imprisons you here. You know, when it come up to Olam Haba, it's going to be the same thing. Two people can be in the same Olam Haba. One of them did his mitzvahs with love and ahava, and he's a cash-paying customer. And the other person is in the same Olam Haba, but it's a different kind of Olam Haba. So, you know the story. The guy said all his life he was saying, listen, are you feeling good? According to some shit, this is good. You're in the sukkah. Is that sukkah good? According to some shit, this is good. You know, I'm wondering about my what? I don't know, I'm wondering about your tzitzis. According to some shittas, it's good. And then finally he gets up there after Shemayim and he goes, where's my Olam Haba? Where's my villa? And he sees this four poles and an empty house and a vast. He says, that's a villa for my Olam Haba? They said, according to some shittas, it is. Okay. So now, so he gave me a list of what you need in order to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was fast. You need your birth certificate. You need a letter from the yeshiva. If you're going for a wedding, in this case he was going for a wedding, you need an invitation, you need a marriage license. I know the Israeli government, you're going to need your second year report card, your third year report card. I said, you're never going to satisfy that. I'm telling you. But they have to know who I am. He says, you have proof that you're a relative. It's like a pack like this. I said, they're going to come to the airport. You don't know what they're going to do to you. Don't go. I'm telling you, don't go. I said, isn't it so nice that Hashem knows who we are? Knows exactly who we are. And someone said to me, you're probably having a hard time getting stories now because you're locked up at home. So I said, my house has plenty of stories. Don't worry about it. No, honestly, seriously. And I picked up the phone. I was one of those people that paid the electric bill by phone. They said, yeah, watch how many stories I'm going to have by paying the electric bill. And the guy's looking at me, and I call up, and they say, due to COVID-19, our welcoming centers are closed. I said, stop right there. I never thought of the Con Edison place as being a welcoming center. You know what I mean? Wow, the electric company. Why don't they just call it a service? I can't wait. I'm telling you, next Chalamoid, I'm taking all my kids for the Con Edison Welcoming Center where a bunch of trucks are going to come out and welcome us. It's going to be murder. And I'm listening, and it goes, we'd love to do business with you, but due to COVID-19, our welcoming centers are closed. I never thought of doing business with Con Edison. It was like, you know, the guy says, by a shidduch, are you a well-to-do person? I do business with the biggest companies in the world correspond with me all the time. Really, you promise? I take a lie detector test. Yeah, the biggest companies in the world correspond with them. The telephone company sends them turn-off notices, the electric company sends them turn-off notices, and, you know, the gas company tells them turn-off notices. So we're going weiter, and I finally pay my bill. I'll spare you the details. And then they go and they tell you, okay, and here's your confirmation number. This usually it goes something like this. Here's your confirmation number. It's XX344439LLBBQE. If you'd like us to repeat it, press 1. As if to say, if you're some bird brain that couldn't catch what we were saying, so press 1. So you press 1. Your confirmation number is 466789XLBBQE. If you'd like us to repeat it, no, it's not going to help. Well, on my side, I wrote down the confirmation number. And it ended 789. And then I paid with a different account about 2 minutes later, and that confirmation number ended 799. And I told him, you know what that means? It means in these 2 minutes, another 200 people paid their Con Edison bill, because my number is 200 people ahead of him. And every time someone pays a bill, they have a record of it. So he said, what's the story? I said, what's the story? Every time you pay for anything in your life, every transaction you made from second grade when you traded marbles for crayons until this person in the nursing home that may be trading who knows what to get a nurse to come in early, every transaction has a number. The Rebbeinu Shlomo knows exactly how many transactions in life you're going to make. There's a certain amount of transactions that we have. What you elect to use those transactions for, but God has your number. He has a record. So I remember when I first got married, this is a good lesson, Rabbi Sai. I used to go down and check my mail. I was so excited to get my mail. Well, married, I went out with my wife, Matzah Shabbos, and we would open the little box in the apartment house, and there it was, my first electric bill, made out to my own name. I panicked. I liked the checks made out of my own name. But the electric bill, I liked the ksuba, but the electric bill, and I said to my wife, me? It's my responsibility? I never had this before. I was a bacher. I drove around in Gremlin, you know what I mean? And my mother gave me a snack, and I went to camp, and I went to Eretz Yisrael, and daddy's credit card paid for the ticket. The electric bill is on my name. She says, why are you panicking? They're going to turn over our lights. How am I going to pay this? Will you calm down? So I went to Tati, and I said, my electric bill. Do you mind? So my father looked at it and said, no. I want you to take care of yourself. I said, Ta, what? I don't have money. Where's your house? No money. You said we should invest some of it, and the others, we bought a new chandelier for the house, and we redid the carpet. You don't have the red fence? No. Can you give me the money for the bill? So my father helped me a lot. I said, I'm not giving you the money for the bill. I said, why? Because I want to teach you Nishkeferlach. The Avishta knows you need light, and he has the money for you, and he'll give it to you when you need it. And I want to tell you, I panicked. And he said, it's going to come a day you're going to understand. So I figured that I am married for 40 years. And I pay then the 12 electric bills every month. Nachamai said, I don't have an Ibriyar. So make a cheshvin. That's 12 electric bills every month for 40 years. So how many electric bills is that? Is that 480, right? Is that 480? No, how much is it? About 480, right? 12 times 40. Is 480. I got that right by mistake. I said, here I am 480 bills later, and not once did the Con Edison Company turn off my lights. And I want to tell you, I didn't know how I was going to pay it that first month, and I don't know how I'm going to pay it now. My first electric bill was for $35. Now it's for $335. And I would say to myself, how did I do it the last 40 years? There has to be someone up there that, you know, is pulling the strings. So what? I'll rely on him, and that's all. Whatever it's going to be, is going to be. You want to be matzliach in learning. You got to believe. You have to do your establish or panasa, and of course you're all doing it. But you got to believe that ultimately your panasa is in the hands of the Rabbi Shalom. He has my number. He has my number. He'll do what he has to do. So I want you to listen to the Sfas Emes. It is a Sfas Emes here. The Sfas should be Megan and protect us all. And he talks about Shavuos, and he says like this. Vayedaber Moshe es Meyadei Hashem. Moshe tikken lemel Yisrael. Moshe was masakin for Klal Yisrael. The darshin be in yonoi shal yon. You know what that means? That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a kayach to understand what's really happening Shavuos. Hashem is opening our knots and readjusting our knots. And so like a, you comb a little girl's hair, right? I don't, my wife does. And you're getting all the knots out and then you're going, you're tying it again. What are you doing? We have to. The Rosh Hashanah opens our knots, and he ties our knots lovingly. And even though, says the Sfas Emes, we can't be Oyler Rego, but you could disconnect. Just like by Har Sinai, Hashem said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha," and we panicked, and our neshama has left us. Poof, we're out of here. We could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could say, "Rabbi Shalom, my life is in your hands." I read a terrible story that in China, someplace, there's a guy that was trying to jump off a bridge. He was trying to jump off a bridge, and the traffic was being held up for who knows how long. And finally, someone came by, and one of the Chinese gentlemen said, "What's the problem?" He said it in Chinese. He said, this guy wants to jump off the bridge, and the traffic is being held up. He said, "I'll take care of it." So he went over and pushed the guy off the bridge. He said, "Okay, now the traffic can flow." Not a good place to jump onto a bridge. You know, in bridges in America, they have, there's a sign, if you need help, you know, call this. In China, there's a sign, you want to jump here. Here's a platform. So there's a story that Beis Yisrael, the guy Rebbe, when he was very young, he was a young man, and he went passed by, and there was a man who wanted to jump off the bridge. And the Ingeman, he was going through a lot, and they went over to him and said to the Rebbe, the Rebbe said, "What's going on?" He says, "He wants to jump off." "Did you try to convince him not to jump off?" "Yeah, it doesn't help." "What'd you say?" "We said to him, think about your wife." He goes, "No, idiot, that's why he wants to jump. Don't say that." So he went over to him. The Rebbe said, "Let me talk to him." So the Rebbe went over to him and he said, "You think up there it's going to be better?" you're gonna have to deal. You have to deal with your life anyway. Hashem knows who you are. He's saying you're gonna die early. I mean, you have to start all over again with your pampers when you're 2 years old. What do you think? Get down here and face it. Get down here and face your life. God has your number. He knows why He created you. He knows exactly who you are. That's it. Limud HaTorah puts us into position that we should know who we are. I once passed the street, talking about the electric company. It was in London. There was a street that was called Electric Street, and I noticed something interesting. There was a sign, no outlet. Imagine Electric Street and no outlet. The Ribbono Shel Olam has us between His two doors because we're here for a certain purpose. And if we don't make it on time, if we're veering off course, the God ties the knots and puts us back. There's a reason where each of you is in the beautiful home that you're in. And I'm sure it comes along with its challenges and its yainess. Because God says, I created you for a purpose. This is your place on the mountain. I need you to accept it. So a fascinating thing. Birchas HaTorah, tremendous school. I forgot which number I'm up to, but we're going to end soon. Birchas HaTorah is a tremendous school for Limud HaTorah, right? As a matter of fact, I can tell you a personal story that was here in the yeshiva. Ramelech Niederman repeats it a lot. There was a kid that was like nothing doing. No cheshik to learn nothing. And one day, poof, as if someone waved the magic wand, he got a bracha from a tzaddik, the kid developed such a cheshik of learning. So the father came and he said, I got to tell you the truth. I'm no tzaddik. I don't tell you what I did. My Birchas HaTorah used to be Chilos HaDerech. I would say it on the way to the car at the yeshiva, into shul. And once someone told me, you know, stop every morning, and for here he goes to the mikvah, whatever, and put on your gartel, and finish your coffee, and open a siddur. It's good to start davening in a siddur. Someone told me he started davening in a siddur. He realized there's a lot of more words. And open your siddur, and say Birchas HaTorah slowly. And he said, my life began to change, and my kids' life began to change. I said, there you go. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the keys. We just have to use it. So here's this person. Here's this person who, so Birchas HaTorah, the Bach and the Sod V'Shoyah Shavuot, it's a big key to our learning, how you say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. The Chazon Ish, when he first came to Bnei Brak, he was sitting outside, it was cold, he had a white sheet over him. And there was a soldier passing by. For whatever reason, he thought he was an Arab. And he thought that he's trying to shoot him. And he fired at the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish had bent down for a second. And the bullet literally grazed the top of his head. And there was a huge thing. And everybody was shaking. And everyone came running. And they checked the top of his head. And the bullet, mamash, went through, came out his hat. It was a nes nigel. And he came to Davin. And the Chazon Ish asked for an aliyah. So they were sure he's asking for an aliyah. He's going to bench Gaimel. So he came up to the aliyah. He didn't bench Gaimel. So they asked him, so why didn't you bench Gaimel? So he said, he didn't hold. You have to bench Gaimel. So why did you ask for an aliyah? He said, right after this happened, that the guy almost shot him. The bullet grazed over his head. I said Birchas HaTorah right afterwards. And maybe I was so traumatized, I didn't have the full kavana. I wanted a second chance to say Birchas HaTorah. And I'm thinking to myself that this morning my phone beeped when I said Birchas HaTorah because Easy Pass was replenishing who knows how much. And I said, huh? And that was my Birchas HaTorah. You know, we're comparing ourselves to the Chazon Ish. But really, this is an important part of our learning. So I said this someplace, and the guy says, something doesn't make sense. Yeah. He goes, the one morning that we can't make Birchas HaTorah is Shavuot morning because you're up a whole night and there's a whole Shabbat you can make Birchas HaTorah. So if Birchas HaTorah is so important, boom! I said, you know, you just answered me a big kasha. What's the big deal with the milchik, right? Everyone's all excited about the cheesecake. What's the big deal with the milchik? I said, Klal Yisrael came, they were makabel the Torah. They left. They said, let's make a suda. We're so happy. Everything is trace. I said, the most important things in your life is challenged. Because Birchas HaTorah is so important, that's why Shavuos morning, you have to struggle with Birchas HaTorah. Because your learning is so important, that's why you're struggling with your learning. Because Shavuos is off the charts, right? The Gemara says, so all of a sudden they came back and they couldn't even eat a suda. That's the whole point. That the Ribbono Shel Olam pinpoints the knots. Here's the key to your bracha, and you can't take it for granted. And the reason you can't take it, and in order for you to make sure you don't take it for granted, the door closes on both sides. The Pnei Menachem, who was the previous Ger Rebbe, he once made up after Kriya Shema Lemita, he goes to sleep. Real Kriya Shema Lemita, not. Some of us say Kriya Shema Lemita in the morning, right? You're waking up at 9 o'clock. Kriya Shema Lemita is in 5 minutes. And your father says, wake up. It says, nine Kriya Shema. So you say Shema and you go back to sleep. You say Kriya Shema Lemita in the morning, right? So this is a real Kriya Shema Lemita. After Kriya Shema Lemita, he said, I'm not talking yet. I'm going straight to sleep. So he said Kriyas Shema L'mita. Somebody came running that his brother, who was the Gay Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, before him, was calling him for an emergency meeting. So he came to speak to his brother. When he came back, he opened up a Gemara. He learned the entire night. And they asked him why. So he said, look, I made up. I'm not going to sleep. They're not talking after Kriyas Shema L'mita. And here I have to go talk to my brother about it, the rabbi, about an important thing. So now what do I do? So the only way I can satisfy my Kabbalah is I don't go to sleep. Because if I go to sleep, then I spoke out between Kriyas Shema L'mita and going to sleep. But I once made up, I don't eat after Kriyas Shema L'mita. So what I would do, I would eat and then say Kriyas Shema L'mita again. Eat again and then Kriyas Shema L'mita again. He didn't look at it that way. He just said, so they asked him, Akadakach, you were up the whole night learning? Yes, so this way I didn't speak out before I went to sleep because I didn't go to sleep. So why was it so important? He says, all my life, whenever I made a new Kabbalah, boom, I ran into a major complication. And says the Balei Tanya, that's the biggest proof Hashem is listening. Hey, he's coming into the jewelry store. Close the door. This is too precious. He can't just come in. There has to be a door that closes. Shul next to me. Right? We're closed now for 2 months. Shul next to me. So Friday afternoon, one day, a few weeks ago, I called the Rav. I said, do you mind? Can I come in and borrow a safer? He says, yeah, okay. So I come into a back door, no one should think that the shul is open. Generally, the rule in Borough Park is, if it says closed, it usually means it's open. That's it. There's a sign that says it's closed. Because if it's really closed, you don't need a sign to say it's closed. Anyway, that's the Google translation of closed means open. Anyway, so, I'm just joking. Anyway, so I came into the shul, and the rav is there. And this is like in the heat of the virus. Really, all shuls were closed. Even President Trump wasn't saying to open shuls yet. And he's putting out the white tablecloth and putting out the tissues, a heavy box, and he's preparing for Shabbos. So I said, there's going to be a minyan Shabbos? He goes, I hope. But the shul closed? Yeah, right now it's closed. So he said, we were closed for like 10 weeks, every single one of the 10 weeks. He went, swept the floor, put out the white tablecloth as if Shabbos is coming. We have to do ours. What Hashem does is his. I thought that was massive. We do ours. Doesn't work. He gets slapped in the face. That's a siman that is good. That's a siman that is brachas. So I'm going to conclude with the following. So, we're going to read the Av Torah on Shemitah. Read the Av Torah on Shavuos, Ma'is Yecheskel. And it says about Ma'isim Rakova, the heavenly throne. And it says, Oifim B'Toch Oifim. I found him B'Chayis HaKodesh. An Oifim means a wheel. So Rav Moshe says, what's an Oifim B'Toch Oifim? He says, if you see how gears go, you have big wheels turning, tiny little wheel, and you turn a little wheel one way and a big wheel turns the other way. He says, in life, we think we control our life. We turn a little wheel one way and the aim is just turning all the wheels the opposite way.
I thought for 10 tips and I only got 4.
You only got, which, what? You only got...
How would be matzliach in learning?
How would be matzliach in learning? You're only up to 4. I know, but I don't want to keep you until 12 o'clock. So, Mayor, we'll keep going afterwards, okay? We'll let everyone else get off the hook. So, all the wheels, wheel 5, wheel 6, wheel 7, wheel 8, wheel 9, wheel 10, they all turn in the direction once you start. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Mayor is right. So, let me tell you how a matzliach in learning, you open the Gemara and you try. And let the wheels fall into place. Because only Hashem really loves you and connects with you. It was interesting. I was in the kitchen of the yeshiva, and I noticed a big jar of mayonnaise. And it said on it, heavy, full-fat mayonnaise. I never saw such a sign in the supermarket. In the supermarket, it says light diet mayonnaise. In the supermarket, you think the more mayonnaise you're going to eat, you're going to lose more weight. It's amazing. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the kitchen. So the cook came by, and they're preparing like this food that you give out. And I said to him, what's chef? He says, why don't you get it? In the industrial mayonnaise, they're marketing it for the chef. The chef wants fat mayonnaise because he wants his food to taste very mayonnaise-ish. In the supermarket, they're selling it to the housewife who wants to know. Everyone's marketing according to who they are, right? You know, the guy that said, my chalt this year was great, this week was great. Why? My schwiger makes the chalt, and she always has a kapitel tillim when she pours in the schmaltz, the oil. And this week, she was up to kuf yud tes. So the chalt was like, awesome. So I said, well, I never thought about that. So the mayonnaise guy in the industrial is lying and saying it's more fatty than it is, because the chef wants the fat. So who's honest? I said, everyone's honest, but we all have agendas. The only one who doesn't have an agenda is the Rabbi Yishalem. He's the only one that loves you for who you are. He created you for who you are. He wants you to be who you are. And that's the connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Limud HaTorah. And in order to be zoicha to that, there has to be a certain sense of bittul. So I'll conclude with this story. I know I concluded a few times already. Two doors, there's a few conclusions. So this morning, it's a simple story. I'm in shul, and I start shmonesh. So I hadn't davened in the shul for a while. They had just opened up, and I was lagging behind. And I'm middle of shmonesh, and they're taking out the Sefer Torah. And I said, the guy's going to give me an aliyah. And I'm in the middle of shmonesh. It's going to be like, you know what I mean? They're going to go, yeah, I'm mine, right? I'm going to leave official then, and I'm going to, they go, no, and I'm going to go, what's your problem? It's a Milos Vanessa, I'm going to be this major case, a federal case over here, and I'm like, don't give me an aliyah, please don't give me an aliyah. So I say, you know what, I'm going to just do a rush job on Shmonesre, take the Super Express, get off the local, do the Express, and I'll just finish off Shmonesre. I said, no, it's too close to Shulis. There's too many problems in my life. I can't afford to lose a Shmonesre. But the guy's going to call me. I said, I'm going to shake his hands. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. And I was determined to daven slowly. And he calls up the Kayan, calls up the Levi, Yamai. And I'm like, my name is Yom Tov Lubavitch. And he goes, yeah, Rochem. Sure. And after davening, the Gabbai comes over to me. First of all, of course, I was angry. He didn't give me an aliyah. But that was sorry. So anyway, so after davening, the Gabbai comes over to me. He says, you know, I was going to give you an aliyah, but let me tell you what happened. I said, what happened? He says, interesting thing. I was out of the room for a minute, and somebody started going psicha. I didn't realize. When I came in, I said, you go psicha. And two people walked up to go psicha at the same time. And one of them was, like, embarrassed. So he, like, stepped back. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, whatever. So I felt bad for him, so I decided to give him an aliyah instead of you. So I said, you don't get it. I said, you don't get it. You were going to give me an aliyah. And I said, no, you know what? Whatever's going to happen, I'm in your hands. I'm davening my Shmon Esrei. So Hashem, change the aliyah to someone else. I want to tell you, the older you get, you will see this 1,000 times over. It's those moments that you're stuck. The serious things in life and the unserious things in life. The best shidduchim are the shidduchim that you question. I see it with my own kids. I see it with myself. There has to be some level of conflict. You have to be between the Oilam Sodom Shnei Psachim. You got to be stuck between the Dudu Sword and the Achachis Kalam. Sadiqim said like this: Rosh Hashanah, big deal. A Bilka Lamer, a Bilka Laveiniger. One roll more, one roll less. But Shuas is a defining Yomtiv. It defines us. It's our opportunity, says the Sfasemis, where things open up in Shemayim, and it happens every year to some level that God, you created me and only me for a reason. There's nobody else in the world that can be me. And you don't have another agenda. You created me, so I'm zoche to be part of the puzzle. And if you really ask for it, then you have the courage to daven that shmonesa. You have the courage, even if the door slams behind you, to keep on going. And we should all be zoche to a matan Torah that heals, as it did the first time. The Yevus should open up the heavens, and there's a Shemizbach, we should be able to go from Har Sinai to the Har Ameria, and still be Oyle Regal, possibly this Shuas, and we should all be standing by the Kaisel, but perhaps on the other side of the Kaisel, the Vf Goyal Tzedek, and Harim Yemenu, should all have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.